Welcome back to Speakeasy with Seth and Scott. My name is Seth.
And my name is Scott. Welcome to the Speakeasy.
That's right. We're motherfucking back. Back again, back again.
He's Seth. I'm Scott.
We already did the intro.
Oh, okay.
They just heard that. Why did you? You don't have to say
it again. I'm confused. I'm an old man. Confusing me.
I get it. Well, stop it. Stop being confused. Welcome back. How are you this week?
I'm okay. I'm good.
What do you mean you're just okay? We have a whole new setup here.
We do.
I finally gave you what you wanted. We're sitting right across from each other.
Yes.
I mean, there was a pain in the ass to set up.
It still is. We're still working on it.
But we know. I got you. We got all fancy shit now.
Yeah.
What do you mean you feel weird?
I'm in a different place.
I get it. Well, wake up.
My mic's a little different. I think we need a little bigger table, but I'm not going to complain.
This table is perfectly big.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's exactly the size that you need to fit everything on. It's not any bigger.
Okay.
All right. Well, cheers me then, if you're going to sit here and complain about how awkward you feel.
I am not awkward.
Cheers me.
Cheers.
That was a ting. You probably didn't hear it. We are drinking the El Presidente, otherwise known as the Dave Portnoy, only in his circles.
It is not known as the Dave Portnoy.
No, but Dave Portnoy is known as El Presidente.
Yes, he is.
Not El Presidente, El Presidente.
But this is the El Presidente drink. It's a cocktail from Cuba.
Cuba.
Created in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
It was likely named for the president of Cuba, Mario Garcia Menocal. Yeah.
Probably something like that.
Right. So he was in charge of the country from 1913 to 1921. During that time, Cuba was a popular vacation spot. And then during Prohibition, people would go to Cuba because they could drink there. And we could generally go to Cuba then.
Now you can, but for a long time after that, you couldn't.
You couldn't. So people would go to Cuba to drink. And when Prohibition ended, they brought that drink back here. And after time, it just kind of faded away like a lot of classic drinks do.
Fair enough. And here we are today.
So we are reviving it. It's a rum drink.
We didn't use the right rum, though, didn't we? It still looks the same. But technically, aren't you supposed to use white rum?
Classically, it does use a white or a silver rum.
And you used a rum that you had on hand.
Yes, I used the Florida Cognac. The Florida Cognac.
Which
I think is a really great rum.
It is. You used it for a rum and coke during our rum and coke fancy versus bar episode.
And I hung on to that bottle because it's just great rum.
Is it?
Yes.
It is. Actually, I'm tasting it. It is a great rum. There's a little splash of grenadine in there, too.
Yeah, and some dry vermouth.
A little vermouth, which I can taste the vermouth fairly heavily.
Yeah, a little bit. And there's also orange curacao. You can also use triple sec or contra.
We used a triple sec.
Yeah,
not orange curacao.
We couldn't. They didn't have a bottle of orange curacao at the Walmart.
And I didn't feel like going to six different stores to track down orange curacao.
No. And we looked it up. They're interchangeable.
Pretty fairly much.
Right.
Well.
How was your week?
It was fine. It was mostly fine. I had my lawnmower break down on me.
Ooh.
It temporarily for 1 second. Well, I got impatient. And I always get impatient about shit, and then I end up messing things up, and then it takes even longer to fix it than it would just to have done it right the first time. But it rained, and then the sprinklers.
Boy, did it rain.
It rained. It's been raining hard, which, you know, April showers, spring's main flowers, or whatever. We're in May now.
May the 4th be with you.
It is actually the day we're recording. Well, then not anymore. It was like 2 hours ago. But, you know, that's funny. Yeah, so it was raining, and then also the sprinklers went off, and typically you're supposed to wait till the grass is dry.
Yeah.
But I had been up, like, all day, like, all night. I didn't sleep. So at, like, 9 or 10 in the morning, I kept checking it at, like, 7 and 8 and 9, because I feel like any time after, like, 8 a.m., you're good to mow on a weekday.
Yeah, I would say 8 a.m. is fine.
Yeah, like most, especially in the neighborhood we live in, most people are going to work or about that time. And if they're not, they're old people, and they're probably up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I feel like 8:30 is the time to do
it. Yeah, you know, any earlier than that, you're kind of pushing it.
Yeah, I hate 7 a.m. mowers.
Ah.
Go, come on, give us an hour and a half. But then I checked it at like 9 and 9:30 and then 10 and 10:30. And finally I was like, fuck it, it's a little damp, I'm going to mow. And I got like, I did the front yard, and then I got like 3 or 4 strips in the back, and it just clunk, 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 and it shut down. So then I had to wait until like the evening time to do it when it was nice and sunny.
Yeah.
And then it took me like about like 30 minutes to clear it out. I had to like get a putty scraper under there and like scrape all the freaking crap that built up.
Well, see, you were trying to take full swipes.
Well, I also didn't know that you were only supposed to do half swipes when it's thick. And because it's been raining, I mow once a week. It's not like I'm leaving it.
But it's been raining, and then we get sunny day and then rainy day.
Yeah. So it's been such a conducive environment for grass.
So it was like, what, maybe 6 inches long?
It was tall. Maybe not six, but it was at least like 3 or 4 or 5 inches. It was tall grass. It was like, you know.
Yeah, what's your preferred height of grass?
Like short? I don't know. The short setting on the low? Yeah, like 1 or 2 inches.
That seems a little low.
I'd like to be able to maybe 3 at max. But it looked like a jungle out there.
Yeah.
Usually it doesn't by the time that Friday rolls around. So that's what I did. I mowed it. And it worked fine. I decided you have to do half strokes, or I learned rather that you have to do half strokes.
Yeah.
And honestly, I might just do that for now on because I kind of like the way
it does look better.
Yeah. Rather than like full strokes, it kind of looks cool. Yeah. It just takes a little bit longer to mow.
Now, do you go the same way every time you mow, or do you mix it up?
You can't. Technically, I think you're supposed to do it every week, but I do it every other week. I switch it up. So I'll go, usually the easiest way to do it is vertically from the back of the house.
Yeah.
But every other week I'll go horizontally. And I only do it every other week because it's kind of a bitch to do.
See, when I did it, I would even throw in a diagonal.
Ooh. Well, I'm not skilled enough to do a diagonal yet. I have to, or the neighbor next door does the diagonal.
Yeah.
And it looks good. I'll give it to you, but
the,
I just...
The neighbor next door could be a greenskeeper at a golf course.
Honestly, if I ever have like a massive estate with like a giant lawn, I'm like, hey man, you got to get over here and show my boys how to do it. What do you do? What are your secrets? Because his lawn looks immaculate and has for 26 years.
Well, but he spends every single day.
Because he cares. I feel like that's his hobby, though. His hobby is lawn care.
Yeah.
Most people, you know, some people have model trains. Some people like to sit in front of microphones and bullshit with their father and or their son. Some people like to meticulously spend every waking moment of their day thinking about how they can make their lawn look nicer.
Seriously, I've seen this guy with scissors.
Oh, yeah. Going around because he'll edge the lawn and then he'll go around and just, you know, trim it just to make every. I mean, it is douchebaggy and we make fun of him. But tell me his lawn doesn't look absolutely immaculate. He has the best lawn on the block. And he always has. Eventually, when I'm a homeowner, I don't give a shit about lawn. I don't. My goal is to have one of those crazy lawns where, like, you plant all the wildflowers and you have all the, like, the crazy shit going on.
There was a house not far from here that did that.
Yeah, and doesn't it look better in your, like, to me, it just looks better.
The guy was, like, in a wheelchair and he couldn't mow.
Well, yeah, but.
So he just planted wildflowers and it looked pretty good.
You get, like, yeah, you end up having, like, a little tiny ecosystem in your front yard. Where all the bees come and you have all these fun little critters that run through.
You ain't come in my yard, I got bees.
I just do not get how we have, I don't get like trimmed lawns. I still do it because everyone, you know, people look at you funny.
That's the American norm.
But should it be? Because like you know, what's the point of that? It's like, I want nature in my house, but only a little bit.
Yeah.
Only a little bit of nature. It can't be more than 3 inches tall. I can't have that much nature.
No.
I better not see one goddamn dandelion. And that's what I think most of America. That's what. Yeah. And when people talk, most of the time, that's the voice I hear. I better not see any dandelions.
Well, we drove down the block the other night, and it's just like this house is like all dandelion.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that you should just let it go, because then it's going to become infested with weeds that are inherently harmful to grass and other kinds of
stuff. And then the neighbor next to him is, he's now full of dandelions.
Yeah, it just spreads.
It just spreads.
We have a dandelion problem. There's a dandelion problem out in the yard. Right. It's just starting. But I tried to just pull them, but dandelions are tricky buggers.
Yeah.
You can't really, most weeds you can kind of like, either get a soil knife or you can like just kind of grab it usually and just do a quick yank, a little quick tug.
Yeah, that doesn't work with no dandelions.
No, they're like tricky. So I'm going to have to spray them because I read that if you mow them, the problem just gets worse next year.
Well,
year after year, they get worse.
There is a lawn company that comes and does like fertilizer and weed control.
Well, we're going to have to give them a call.
Well, they come by every couple of weeks.
Well, they're not doing a good job then.
Well, they've probably been busy.
They're bad at their jobs. Well, that's okay if you're busy. But be busy making these dandelions.
It's as green as I've ever seen.
There's a couple of patches, though.
It is patchy from when they put in the sprinkler system.
Yeah, there's a couple of dirt patches.
So, but
there's also a big dirt patch from when the tree got cut down.
Yeah.
But now I have a little gate around it. We're growing grass there. Have you seen it? That shit's growing.
It's growing.
It represents my personality, I've decided.
I actually think you should have planted some flowers. Growth. Or maybe some herbs.
No.
Maybe some basil.
A plain sea of green is what I'm looking for, apparently.
I think with the little gate around it.
Well, the gate's coming down. Yeah. The only reason it's there is so the dog doesn't dig.
I think a little circle of flowers would have been nice.
Yeah, might have been.
Maybe some mint. You could have grown some mint.
Why do you need mint?
We often need mint and you can't find it.
Actually, that is a good point. The amount of times that a cocktail we've been doing requires mint,
fresh, and we go
to like three or four different stores, we're like, I guess mint's not in fucking season.
No,
or every goddamn person's having mint.
You can get it in like September and October, and that's it.
Really? Yeah. Maybe we should grow our own mint. Can you dry mint out and just keep it all year?
You can, but you want the fresh mint for drinks.
Well, you can't keep mint all fresh during the winter, can you?
Well, you can get one of those indoor herb gardens.
That sounds like somebody who grows psilocybin mushrooms.
Well, you can do that too.
Maybe on one side it's mushrooms and on the other side
it's mint.
And do you think that would make the mushrooms taste minty? Do you think that's how that would work?
Well, you can make tea with the mushrooms.
And then you can make mint tea with the mushrooms. Mint mushrooms.
It might work out.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks.
Right there.
Grow some mint and grow some psilocybin mushrooms right next to them and try to make some tea and let us know how it goes. I don't do shrooms. I've done it a few times in my life.
I never have.
Well, that's because you're a square.
Yeah, I am a square.
I will say I do like being able to actually see you when we record.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to like look at you.
Yeah, the way it used to be set up is we were like
side by side
on a wall. And now I can like monitor the sound while I'm just looking at you in your eyes.
Yeah. I can't see the recording.
You can't see it, and you never will.
Is it looking okay? I'm getting a little anxiety over it.
You'll notice sometimes I give you a this, or I'll give you a this.
Yeah, and I see that. And I can see the sound meter on the board.
Yeah, or sometimes I'll give you...
Which is kind of nice to have.
I love this board. Sometimes I'll give you a this, which means shut the fuck up, but you know.
No, I'm not going to say this is going to sound perfect when we publish it.
We're not sound engineers. We're figuring this out.
Yeah. This thing has so many knobs and buttons and
this isn't two bears, one cave where we pay $500,000 to have 16 guys sit behind a bunch of boards and clickety clack.
No, this is a professional board. We can
Okay, but we're not professionals. That's what I'm saying.
No, but we will be. By the time we're done,
we're gonna take all those motherfuckers out of
business.
And then
we can start doing like sound for concerts.
You best believe we will. Maybe I'll become a DJ one day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd be a good DJ. I'd be a good DJ.
Probably not, because you know you like non-standard music.
That's not true.
Like if you were doing
Billy Joel's not standard.
No, but if you were doing like a wedding, the wedding people, the groom and the bride.
Yeah, they pretty much pick the playlist.
They want like upbeat dance.
Yeah, I'll just throw on the hardest EDM music I can think of.
And then you listen to Frank Sinatra and Otis Redding and...
Yeah, yeah.
And you have... Well, you have... I gave you an eclectic movie music taste.
You exposed me to a lot of music as a child. Yes, I remember, we'd be listening to, like, Otis Redding. And then you'd be listening to, like, Gangsta's Paradise.
Sitting on the dock of the bay.
Yeah, it's a great song. I will say, I want to mention this. We were... I was driving in your car with you the other day.
Yeah.
And you, I think this is a 50-year-old thing. You started playing Blues Traveler. And I just want to ask, what's up with that?
I saw a video on YouTube where an opera singer was reviewing or reacting to a reaction video. Those things are really popular.
Reaction videos?
Yeah. And she was reacting to Hook by Blues Traveler.
Which is the song you were listening to, I think.
Well, I'm like listening to it. I'm like, I forgot how good this guy could sing. I really did.
Who is the main singer at Blues Traveler?
John Popper.
John Popper. That's right.
Yeah. So.
And you're a big John Popper guy now.
Well, yeah.
Do you think that happens after you cross over into the latter stage of middle age? Because you also, when you were like, I remember as a kid, you used to only drink Busch Light. And like, you know.
Well, I didn't know any.
If Bud Light was there, you'd have it, but you didn't appreciate it. Because it's bad, let's be honest.
Yeah, it is.
Now, and again, I got to make sure that people know, I don't not like Bud Light because I'm transphobic. I don't like Bud Light because it doesn't taste good. I want to make that clear.
No, it does
it's
not.
It's a bad beverage. It tastes like club soda and someone whispered the word alcohol on it. Like, I could drink 120 of them. I guess that's nice and I'd feel nothing.
Well,
but
or you could have a nice seltzer that tasted like cranberry or something.
Yeah, and then I'm a little buzzed after I have
like,
it.
Seltzer piss.
Yeah, not seltzer piss. We're just going too hard on Bud Light. They're going to sue us, don't
well,
we? But after 50, like not, after like not 40.
Bud Light.
After like 35, 40, probably 45, you switched to Hams. You started drinking PBR. You started drinking Old Style.
I'm going to say I pretty much single-handedly brought Hams back on the market in Nebraska.
Now, that you might have. You didn't with Pabst. You used to claim that you did with Pabst, and that just became a hipster beer across the country.
Yeah, but I started buying it, and then the distributor's like, oh, that's selling. And then they start stocking it. And then they go to another store and they go, hey, they're really selling the crap out of PBR.
Well, how much PBR were you buying, do you think?
More than I need.
More than you need, less than you want. Maybe not.
Like, we went to Walmart and I got 230 packs.
Well, that's because you started learning how to buy in bulk effectively. Because you do this because I used to be an asshole about it. Because I'm not an asshole, but I was annoyed by it. Because you'd buy like a six pack and then like halfway into the week, you'd be like, hey, I got, you know, could you go out and buy me some beer?
Yeah.
Well, could you give me some beer?
Well, you know.
And, you know, I'm happy to do it because you work second shift.
Yeah.
It's really tricky I always hated working second shift because like.
It's not.
You don't have any time to do anything. Like, I get that it works for you, but you never have time to do anything.
Well, I'm a night guy, so it just works for me.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying. When you're at work, everything's open.
Yeah.
And when you're sleeping, everything's open. But when you're actually awake, then everything's closed.
It wasn't a problem before COVID.
Yeah, when you could go to Walmart at 3 in the morning, it wasn't an issue. McDonald's was open 24 hours a day, it wasn't a problem. No. But now you get off at midnight and everything in the world is closed.
Except for one or two gas stations in the town.
And Abelardo stays up till 3.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've been there like twice.
Well, it is great.
It is great. But
it's at like the corner of town.
You really don't want to eat, because I don't eat all day.
Yeah.
I don't really want to come home and eat like.
The greasy, like.
Mexican.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Mexican. You just hate Mexican?
No, I love Mexican. I love it.
Well, it's delicious, but it is heavy.
We'll give you that.
Especially like fast food Mexican.
And if I'm, they're between fast food and
because it does like take like 10, 15 minutes for you to get your food. But it is quality food.
It is. It's very quality. And it's good, but I always want the beans. They have the best beans, I think.
They do. What is your go-to fast food Mexican food order? I always go for the carne asada tacos. Or a burrito with shrimp in it. A shrimp burrito. I like shrimp and steak together.
I haven't been to Alvarado's for quite a while.
Well, just any Mexican fat, like Chipotle, Alvarado's.
Okay, so the last time I went to Chipotle, they have a new chicken, I forget what it's called.
Burrito? Quesadilla?
No, it's a type of chicken.
Pollo? I believe that's the word for chicken.
Chicken asada?
I don't know, because I thought carne asada
was steak. But this is chicken.
Pollo asada.
And it's red, and it's kind of spicy. Anyway, I got the burrito with that. It's their new chicken.
Was it good?
It was awesome.
Chipotle. I think we've mentioned this. We finally have a Chipotle in Midwest town. which I believe Shane Gillis or somebody, one comic, mentioned. That is what it means for the Midwest to become gentrified. Like these boonie towns are like these little tiny like country towns. Yeah. They're also getting gentrified just like communities and cities, but it's different. Instead of like getting a high age apartment, like a new age hipster apartment complex, we get a Chipotle.
Yeah.
And like, you know.
In smaller towns, instead of getting a Walmart, they get a Dollar General.
Then they get a dollar. No. Dollar General preys on rural societies. They literally, the way that I read this somewhere, I don't know if it's 100% true, but the way that Dollar General decides like where they're going to put a store is by like, literally they look at the people on food stamps per capita of that area.
Yeah.
And that's where you, they're literally like a map of like.
Really? That's how they decide.
Straight up. Yeah. So like you'll notice like you drive down by Hooper and there's just a Dollar General in a cornfield.
Yeah.
They're just all over the place. There's just a cornfield and then in the middle of it's just a fucking Dollar General.
Well, in Valley, right when you pull into town, there's a Dollar General. Yeah.
And it's literally because they base their exact locations on how many people are on food stamps per capita in that area. So Dollar General, you guys straight up fucking suck. I'll say that.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, you can get decent food there.
Oh, stop.
For pretty cheap. I mean, it's all canned, and it's probably not healthy for you.
They have no selection. All the stuff they have is packed.
They don't have fresh meat, but you can get a can of Vienna sausages for 50 cents.
No, if I'm low on money, I'm going to Dollar Tree every day.
Dollar Tree is a step above.
Plus, they have fun toys. I always loved that when we, because I don't know, we weren't like poor growing up. But Dollar Tree is a nice place to go for like knickknacks or like if you're like my grandma's really into craft stuff, if you like to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they'd go there for like party supplies or craft stuff. And my favorite part was going down that toy aisle of just absolutely useless junk that cost like $2.
Like the off-brand Superman action figure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like you were a frugal guy when we were growing up and it led to, you know, nice things. But, like, we weren't getting no $40 Nerf gun. Like, that just wasn't happening.
No, you got quality birthday gifts.
Well, yeah. No, I'm not saying, like, yes, on, like, birthdays. I'm not saying you just never bought us any. Well, birthdays and stuff, we got good gifts. But we weren't, like, those spoiled kids where, like, anytime you went to Walmart or anywhere, you were getting a bunch of toys. Because yeah. I have some friends like that where they just anytime they're at a store and their kid's with them, whatever their kid asks for, they're getting. Which yeah. I think is a bad way to raise your kids.
It's very bad.
I'm not going to call you out, but you know exactly who you are.
I hated taking you guys to Walmart.
Well, we were assholes about it.
So I would purposely steer clear of the toy aisle. Because then all three of you fuckers would be running up.
And somehow we always found it.
Can I have this? Can I have this?
Because the toys were dope. And now I'm older. I'm like, all these toys suck.
Yeah.
These are cheap pieces of crap that I'm going to pay, what, $60 for?
No, like maybe Legos.
The only thing that's worth the money is Legos, and they are pricey.
They are. Legos are very pricey.
I've always loved Legos, and I feel like that's one of the few toys you can get into as an adult, and people aren't going to throw rocks at you.
Well, I think they're great for kids, because...
Well, they are, because they teach you how to
create. Just like, but now we have Minecraft.
Yeah, now you could just play basically way better Legos on your computer.
Yeah, but I think just using your hands to build something is beneficial.
It is. I love playing with it. It was my favorite toy as a kid. You could get me anything in the world, but Legos were just because you got to build your own toy. Like, that shit's cool. Anything you wanted, a house, you wanted a car, whatever, you could build your own toys. But they're so expensive. I like looked at the store a while back to get like just their base pack and just like their big thing. It's like $80 for like 1,000 pieces or whatever it is. It's too expensive. Yeah. How much does it really cost you to print out some freaking Lego pieces?
Not much.
Yeah.
No. And now they're doing like...
Do they 3D print them or how do they have like molds?
They're injection molded.
Oh.
So the plant that actually makes them,
mm-hmm.
It's just injection molding machines for miles. Like, one will be making the red bricks, one will be making the green.
Those are some of the automated plants.
Right? All the different sizes, whatever.
Yeah.
And they don't even turn the lights on.
Because all they need is the engineers to come in and, like...
Every now and then they need, like, a mold tech or a maintenance guy.
To fix the machine.
And when you walk in there, the lights turn on. But otherwise, there's no one in the plant.
They're saving energy.
They have robots that move along. When a box gets filled, it gets put on this robot, and it carts it off to the warehouse.
Yeah, which is like, let's be honest, that's where production is going.
So all you really need is someone to monitor your resin levels and maybe do some quality control every 4 hours or something.
Yeah, I genuinely think we're going to get to the point where a production plant, instead of having 500 people there, you're going to have like 20.
Yeah.
People to kind of monitor just to make sure everything's moving slowly, and then people to be able to fix the machines when they break down or if there's an issue or if they need to change something out occasionally. But like, other than, because like, we won't get too into it because of laws and stuff. But like at the place you work, they're starting to move into that little bit where they're really starting to look at automation.
Oh, yeah. Everything is they're moving towards automated.
Yeah.
Robots, cobots.
What are cobots?
Now, a cobot is a robotic arm with an attachment on the end that does a certain purpose. But it moves slow enough that a human can work next to it.
Yeah.
And if it gets even like a quarter of an inch from hitting a human, it just stops.
That's kind of cool.
But they move very slow.
They don't like produce a lot quickly.
No, they're very slow.
They're very smart.
Nah, not right now.
But they will be.
But
my only hope is that when we get to that point, it becomes like, okay, everybody just does whatever they want because you don't have to worry about things anymore. But you know that's not what it's going to be.
No, and the jobs of the future are going to be fixing those things.
Yeah, everyone's going to have jobs. But that's the thing, is there won't be enough of those jobs. You're going to need, what, like 20 people at a plant.
Yeah.
So like at a certain point, we're going to need to figure something out. We're going to have to come up with some more industries or something.
But now because of AI, you're also going to have like humanoid-like robots that can walk over to a machine and fix it.
Well, I hope not. I hope we never get to like Android type stuff. As much as, you know, I'm so interested in like the AI thing and like that stuff. The only way that we can make a mistake is if we start making that, if we start trying to replicate humanity in terms of, with robotics.
Well, we are.
That's where you get Terminator shit.
Well, that's happening anyway.
You know what I figured? I just learned this. There is literally a company that is, I forget what it's called, but it's named after the company in Terminator. Like, what Cyberdyne or whatever it is.
Yeah, Cyberdyne.
Yeah. There's literally a company called that, and they do the same thing. Like, they make robots and shit. I'm like, why are you guys trying? Was that movie a documentary from the future?
Probably.
We need to find John Connor. Where's he at then?
Because there's now scientific evidence that we are in a simulation.
What's that? Was a scientific
evidence? I don't want to go into it.
That's because you don't have it.
I don't have the article pulled up, so I don't want to.
The only argument I've heard is that the fact that we are getting so close, because you play video games now, and you're like, this looks like a real life. Like, this is almost indifferential between. And you're starting to get to the point where, like, have you heard of, like, AI NPCs?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like smart NPCs.
Yeah.
You know, non-player character.
Yeah.
So, like, they have these, like, games where you play on virtual reality, you know, like, you have your headset or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can talk to these NPCs, and they will talk back to you as if they are that character, which means at some level, they're able to take in information, and they're able to compute that and then spit back information. At what point does that become completely indecipherable from regular life?
We could be doing that right now. You could be an AI,
well, that's
hologram that I'm seeing and reacting to me.
It could be. But at that point, it's like, if we are living in a simulation, I don't care. Everything I experience is still real. Like, I still have emotions. I still look at the sunset and a tear comes to my eyes because I'm like, God damn, it's beautiful. Like, so like at the end of the day, who gives it? My life's still meaningful because I still have meaning. I still feel that meaning and that weight behind just like, you know, getting a compliment.
Yeah, I get that.
So like, who gives a shit?
And maybe maybe civilization actually did exist, died out billions of years ago, and the only thing to save it was putting us in a computer.
Which 100% been the case. If I had to put my money on it, I would guess that we're an accidental simulation. I would guess that what the universe is, the Big Bang, is like just a, like something accidentally slipped into existence. Because, like, that's kind of what this, like, string theory, kind of like what that is, right? Is, like, we're kind of just reflections at the edge of the universe. It's like, and we know that we're not actually really what we are, and at the very base of it is just, a like, little, you know, atoms connected by electricity. There's literally, like, at the end of the day, we're, like, made out of, like, light almost. Like, just energy.
Yeah.
So, like, who's to say that we like, a simulation didn't just naturally accidentally happen, and that's where we're at?
Okay, it just dawned on me what the article was basically saying. The scientist theorizes that as the universe is expanding, and we can actually watch it, and it is expanding.
Yeah.
So entropy should be increasing.
Okay.
And entropy is a measure of chaos in the universe.
Is it increasing?
No.
Hmm.
So the more and more we grow, the more information we put out there.
Which means the more crazy shit should be happening.
Yeah. Entropy should be increasing right along with the universe.
Like, unpredictable things that are occurring within the cosmos should increase as the universe increases.
Yeah.
And but they're still lower.
It's not.
How do we know?
So his theory is that all of this is being, all the information we're coming up with and developing, putting out in the universe, is being backed up on some kind of computer system.
I like that. Because that means every story that I write exists somewhere.
Yeah.
And then maybe when I die, they'll take my file and they'll plop it in there. And I can just go hang out in magic fantasy land.
It could be.
And I'm okay with that.
And that's going to lead to our next story after our break.
I got to pee. We're only a half hour in. I got to pee bad.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Guess who's back? 3 seconds later, it's us. Me, Seth, and my father, Scott. And he brought me another drink that I don't know.
Bonus drink.
I peed. Did you pee?
Yes, I did.
Did you poop?
No.
I wanted to, but I didn't.
Oh.
No, I've already done that. I had 3 cups of coffee today and a Red Bull. And maybe I'll have a heart attack, or maybe I'll invent a new type of math.
That could, either one could happen.
Either one at this point. I'm feeling feisty.
But the fact that you put off a poop.
I didn't put off a poop. I
was just to lying. Come back to the show quick.
I'm begging to get back to the show. I'll turtle head anything I need to get back to the show. All right, so I'm going to take a sip of this drink. It's brown. I'm assuming it has rum in it without... Let me give it a smell. Definitely has rum in it. I have no idea. I know there's rum.
Yeah.
Club soda?
Nope.
How many guesses do I get?
I'll give you one more. Come on now.
There's a soda.
Yeah.
Rum and Pepsi.
Yes.
There we go. I'm the goddamn king. And everyone just learned it.
Actually, rum and Diet Pepsi, but...
Oh. Where'd you get Diet Pepsi?
There was I was grabbing another beer out of the fridge.
And there was just a Diet Pepsi in there?
There was a Diet Pepsi in there, and I'm like, you know, a little bonus drink.
Yeah, bonus drink. We did do a two-parter the other day. It just came out last week, I think. I think that's the one. I barely keep track. I don't know anymore.
I don't know.
We've done so many episodes.
We have one in the tank right now.
Well, no, but that's the one people already listened to last week.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I had it, and then we were busy doing this shit, so I decided just to skip a week, and just in case that we didn't figure this shit out.
Yeah, and this might be total crap, and we'll have to redo it.
But it's not, because I have belief. Anyway, so we're drinking Diet Pepsi and rum. Not bad, I have to say. It has a pinch to it.
See, I love the Florida Canyon.
Flor de Cane. You are also wetting your palate with Pabst Blue Ribbon, and I'm wetting my palate with a Mike's Harder lemonade.
Cranberry,
and on deck is black.
You always get the variety pack.
I like variety packs. Whatever I'm getting, whether or not it's Smirnoff or Mike's or Twisted Tea, I like to switch it up.
Well, I always get the variety pack at PBR.
Yeah, you have PBR, and then you have the Blue Ribbon.
It's all just PBR.
It's all PBR.
Yeah.
There's no variety. They don't even make a PBR light, do they?
No, but they did come out with a PBR coffee.
It's good. I do like the PBR coffee.
I haven't had it.
I do not like it.
I think I took a sip of it, and I was like, yeah.
I don't mind the PBR coffee.
A lot of people like it.
It's good.
I've heard people say, yeah, that's...
Now, if I have to choose between that and, like, a vodka Red Bull to keep me charged on a club night,
yeah,
I'm choosing the vodka Red Bull. Forgot the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a cigar bar that me and my pals go to every once in a while. And usually, and you know, they have some competent mixologist there. So you like to get cocktails. But every once in a while, if I'm not feeling a cocktail and we're going to go out afterwards, because sometimes we'll go have a cigar, drink a little bit, and then we'll go out clubs or whatever. So sometimes I'll get the Pabst coffee, and I like
it. Really?
Yeah. Because they don't have a Red Bull. They're an actual, like...
Yeah.
It's a cigar bar.
It's called Churchill's, right?
Yeah, it's called Churchill's. Which is the only, you know, it's my favorite part about it.
They do make a good old-fashioned.
Yeah, they make a damn good old-fashioned. I usually get something like that. I find for some reason I like brandy on the rocks.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know why, because I don't really like whiskey on the rocks. I don't really like rum on the rocks, but I like brandy on the rocks.
I like brandy with a good cigar.
Yeah, like it really pairs well with like kind of the smokiness of the cigar.
And you just sip on the brandy and you smoke your cigar or your cigar. And
there sometimes
you can dip the end of your cigar in the drink.
Yeah. I spent time growing up on a farm. I've wrestled. I've worked landscaping. I've been a literal fucking truck driver. There's nothing that makes me feel manlier than smoking a cigar. I've played golf. I've done it all. There's nothing that makes you feel more like a man than smoking a cigar.
Smoke a cigar while you're playing golf.
Oh, is that it? Is that the pinnacle? I really want to get really good at white guy things.
Now, yeah.
I want to learn how to ski. I want to learn how to play golf.
They even make like teas, like a golf tea.
A golf tea.
But it holds your cigar.
It holds your cigar?
Yeah. So when you're teeing off, you can put your cigar in.
That's beautiful.
And not lay it on the grass.
I really love that. So we were talking about AI.
Now, if you're real badass, you leave the cigar in your mouth while you tee off.
That's how I like. I like it when the guys, when they see it on like the TV and they have like the really short cigar,
yeah,
the stubby one, and they just clench it between their teeth and they're whacking that thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
But you're getting smoke in your eye. So,
who gives a
so they the best golfers the
don't need to care.
I'm sure John Daly wouldn't care.
He's a badass.
He is a badass.
He knows how to hit a ball.
He's also a trumper, so.
Well, you know, to each their own.
Each their own. He can still hit the ball in country mile.
Some people have opinion. I'm not a Democrat or Republican, so I just like to watch you two bitch at the two sides bitch at each other in our country. That's my thing. So
we were talking about being in a simulation.
Talking about simulation, and you said that leads nicely into our next conversation.
So we were talking about how there should be more entropy because we're putting more into the universe. And this guy thinks that the simulation is like basically making zip files of it.
Yeah. Which is dope. I hope so, honestly.
So now
that means our God could just be some guy named Todd.
Yeah. Sit
behind a computer. Like,
yeah.
That's really funny to think about. That maybe our ultimate absolute God is some guy named Kyle and he's smoking cigarettes. And he's just, man, shut up, Mom. I'm making a universe.
I got to keep my people safe.
He's not. He's doing a bad job. Kyle, pay attention to the fucking screen, dude. We're suffering out here.
Kyle's smoking weed.
He's smoking too much weed.
Eating too many Hot Pockets.
So you have all this information, all this entropy essentially getting compressed down to zip files. And we've kind of started, we're really making progress in that.
Yeah. So, when's the last time you watched DVD?
What, when I was 12?
Yeah.
We used to have movie nights.
So a DVD holds about 4.5 gigabytes.
About enough for a movie.
A two-hour movie.
Sometimes two movies.
If it's any longer than that, you get the double DVD.
The double disc, yeah.
Well, now they have a super DVD.
DVDs are coming back, you're saying.
Yeah, and these super DVDs will hold up to 1 million movies.
Which, by the way, it holds, I think I've heard this, a petabyte? So you haven't actually researched the topic that you brought.
I skimmed it.
You skimmed it. So you have a tetrabyte, right? Which is a shit ton of like information. Like my laptop has this.
And holds a tetrabyte?
I believe so. And I run Stellaris on this. I run fucking all this shit. Big, big games, big, big files. I love to. What I think a petabyte is like three times, maybe like it's much bigger than a tetrabyte. It's like two clicks above. It's insane. It's like the difference between like $1 million and $1 trillion, which is astronomical. Don't go silent on me.
Well, there's no information here about a pedophile.
Well, we changed our setup, so now you're the research guy, so you have to do some research here.
Well, I'll start reading the articles more thoroughly, but
I don't need you. I just need you to look up how much bigger a petabyte is than a terabyte.
Okay, so the first generation of DVDs could hold about 4.5, and then they figured out a way to make it 2 layers deep, and that would hold about 8.5. These new ones, there's over 100 layers.
Yeah,
and the data is written in nanoparticle size.
Yeah, so like a traditional CD, they're literally lasering the information into the disk.
Yes, it is a petabyte.
Yeah, so I was wrong. It's a terabyte, not a tetrabyte. But so a tera means, hold on, I got to count the zeros. A million.
So this is more movies than you could watch in a lifetime.
This looks like maybe more than a trillion. I'm not going to count all those zeros. But
it's a lot of zeros.
It's a much larger unit than a petabyte. So, but how many movies can I fit on this bitch?
More than you could watch in a lifetime if you started from birth to death.
I'm so excited about this. And like, because my biggest worry in the age of digital streaming is, especially when you've heard about some of that stuff with video games where like companies are straight up saying people have to get, you'll have to get comfortable with not actually owning your games. Because a lot, like, have you heard about this problem? It sucks enough to not own the movies that you stream on Netflix. But like, so people will pay $60 for a game.
Yeah.
They'll play it. And then 5 years later, the company can just decide that they don't want to support it.
Yeah.
So they just pull the plug. And now you just can't play the game anymore because it's not supported.
No.
So like,
you can't actually go buy a disc and put it in your place.
Like a lot of companies are switching to like just posting it digitally. So I love the idea that I could have all of Netflix on a physical disc. We're like, think about where you're like, all right, Netflix 2024, Netflix 2028, Netflix. And you could just buy the disc and have all these fucking movies on it.
Yeah.
That's where it needs to go.
Now you can get a lifetime of movies on one disc.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, John Green's Turtles All the Way Down came out May 2nd.
I haven't seen it. Is it good?
It broke the major Rotten Tomatoes record.
Damn, it's that good?
Yeah.
I wish they would have made a Looking for Alaska. They made a short TV series, but I haven't really heard any good thing about it.
I think I watched some of it, but it just wasn't done well.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, he probably just sold the rights for it. But I wish it would have been made him, because that's my favorite book of John Green's, is Looking for Alaska.
That is a very good plot.
It is such like a deep dive into grief, into like betrayal, and like all this kind of stuff. It's such a deep dive into it.
Now, I've seen about half of the movie so far.
Turtles All the Way Down.
Yeah, it is very good.
I kind of want to read the book before I watched the movie. Because I read a couple chapters, but then I just didn't end up... It's not that I didn't like it, I just didn't end up finishing it. Sometimes I'll, like, get a couple chapters into a book, and then I'll, like, just want to read another book more. I'll be like, But this thing's kind of scratching a hole in my brain, so I kind of want to read that.
It's uncomfortable to read.
Is it? Because it's about a girl with OCD, right?
Yeah, like crippling OCD.
Which is one of the things that John Green personally can really relate to.
Yeah, and that's why he wrote it. So it deals with mental health issues just perfectly. Because he's dealt with it all his life. And the girl that plays the main character, Isabella Merced, just is fantastic.
I don't believe I've ever heard of her. Is she in anything?
I can look that up quick if you want to.
Well, I was going to mention, like, I don't know if everyone knows this, but you and I are big fans of the Green Brothers.
Yes.
Like, you introduced me to the Vlog Bros when I was like, because you were fans of them, and I learned them through you when I was like 10, 9, whatever age it was. And like, since that point, I've always been a John Green fan. I think there's 2 or 3 books of his that I haven't read. Turtles All the Way Down, Let It Snow, which he did with another author. Forget that name. And then there was Abundance of Catherines. Those are the three I haven't read.
I haven't read an Abundance of Catherines.
I haven't read that. But all of the, and the, every one I've wrote, he's just so good at writing people, I think.
Will Grayson is another one.
My second favorite book. Yeah, it's my second favorite book of his.
So there were two characters named Will Grayson, and he wrote the part of one, and another author wrote the part of the other.
Yeah, and this isn't really spoiling it. The basis of the book is that you have one Will Grayson, who's a straight guy, who's kind of a loner, who's kind of having a really hard time. And then one Will Grayson, who's a homosexual man.
Yeah.
Who's having a really hard time.
Yeah.
And you get to see these two Will Graysons, just these two guys who have the same name, meet and their lives kind of like combine. And they have this like cool, and it's just such a cool, well-written book.
It really is.
Like my main compliment to John Green is that he is so good at writing people, not characters. He's so good at capturing like the thought process that people have, like just what it means to just be like, yeah, I don't know, like actions and people. He's so good at writing people. Every single person I've read, I'm like, that's a full developed person.
Yeah, his characters are just amazing.
Yeah, like Fault in Our Stars.
That,
to be honest,
this like beat the Fault in Our Stars, yeah, on Rob's Banks.
Well, in my opinion, that it's a very, very good book. And it is his most famous book because of the movie.
Yeah.
Truthfully, it's a little lower on my list in terms of John Green books. Looking for Alaska is just such a great book. Will Grayson's Will Grayson is such a good book. Paper Towns is such a fucking good book.
Yeah, that was a really good book, just not a very good movie.
The movie was it had some funny moments and it had some endearing moments. But I did not capture the pure anxiety I felt while reading that. Like, the whole time you're reading that book, it's just anxiety. You're like, where the fuck is she?
Yeah.
What is she? Is she playing some sick game with this guy? What's happening?
Yeah.
And then the resolution, I don't want to spoil it, but just the resolution of it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
It really is, but it didn't translate well to the movie.
I don't think so. I think Looking for Alaska is the perfect book to make a movie out of. Because, like, the things that happen, it has a very strong beginning, it has a very strong climax, and it has a very, very peaceful resolve.
There's some reasons, if you've read the book, you probably know that it's going to be a tough movie.
Yeah, because people suck.
But maybe now, you know, it could be made fully.
Because people aren't willing to just
a two- or three-part series.
Yeah, I just didn't like the... I've seen clips of the TV show, and I just didn't love it.
Isabella Merced has been in quite a lot of movies for her age. She was in Dora and Lost City of Gold.
Oh, was she in the College Humor live-action Dora skits?
Dora? She was in Instant Family, Madam Web, Cicero, Day of the Soldado. I'm assuming that's a Latin American movie. Transformers The Last Night.
I haven't seen a Transformers movie since I was 10 years old. Fuck that. And it makes me mad because the Transformer cartoons are so dope.
Yeah.
And none of the movies were worth dog shit. Why did we have to let Michael Bay direct anything?
It's ever? Just a CGI shit show.
Why? Again, I got to pose to everybody. Why do we keep letting this asshole make movies? He's bad at them. He's bad at making movies.
Do they make money?
Yeah, because I think a huge problem in our society is that we do not prioritize actual thought and like serious like storytelling. We don't prioritize intellectuality anymore at all. And I do not claim to be such an intellectual. I'm just like to be a, I'm a curious person. But I think we're so like, ooh, big fun explosion, that it's just like, I don't know. Michael Bay needs to stop forever, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Just forever and ever, maybe. Maybe he should. I think when he goes out, he should go out in an explosion. He should blow himself up. That's when I will become a Michael Bay fan. I'm not advocating for suicide. That's fucked up. But if he happened to want to be like, to do like a Evel Knievel stunt, he's 90 years old, and like he rides over a cliff and there's really a giant explosion. Then I would be a Michael Bay fan.
Apparently she was in the original Transformers.
Was she?
In 2007.
Is she Megan Fox? Because that's the only
she
woman.
She was born in 2001, so that would have made her 6 years old. So she must have played the little kid.
So she's my age, you're saying. Close to it.
She's a year younger. Born in Cleveland, Ohio, 5'1". She's going to star in the Superman Legacy movie coming out next year.
Who's the Superman? Is it still, what's his bucket?
It is David Korenspan.
Oh, yeah, they got rid of... Who is the actor? I cannot think of his name. The best Superman. He played The Witcher.
Oh.
He played Geralt in The Witcher. What is his name? He's such a cool guy, it seems. He's everything he's in, he's good. He's a nerd. He likes Warhammer. Why can I not think of his name? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the most handsome men in the world ever.
I didn't have to look that one up.
I think he's just like the perfect like image of a handsome guy. Like when someone says the word conventionally handsome, I think of Henry Cavill. His face pops into my head because it's just like such a traditionally handsome guy.
I don't know. Someone says handsome, I think of Tom Hardy.
Yeah, because, you know, you're secretly gay for it.
Well, yeah.
He's not.
Who wouldn't be?
Let's be honest. He's not that good of an actor.
He is a chameleon.
Nah.
He can do anything.
Nah. He plays big, tough guys.
Don't even be talking bad about that.
He plays big, tough guys or big, dumb losers.
No. He can do a range of things.
Okay, name any time that he has played anybody that's not awesome. That's not, like, super badass. He can play person like mentally struggling badass in Venom. But every fucking movie, he plays big, strong badass.
Well, because he is a badass.
Okay, but Daniel Day-Lewis has played badasses, and he's also played straight up a guy in a wheelchair, or Abraham Lincoln. You will never make the conversation, the argument to me, that Tom Hardy is a better actor than Daniel Day-Lewis. Because Daniel Day-Lewis is the definition of the greatest actor of all time. He's like truly embodies what it means to be an actor, I think, where you live within the shoes of the character you're playing. Tom Hardy doesn't do that for me.
But he does.
He's good at voices. The artists that he works with are very good. You know, I didn't even know that he was Bane until like 10 years after.
Exactly.
But that's not really because of his acting, is it? It's because he was wearing a big, dumb fucking mask the whole movie, and his voice was pitched up. So it's not that he was such a great actor. It's that, well, yeah, I can't tell that's Tom Hardy. None of the features that make Tom Hardy are showing.
Have you seen Walk?
No.
So the whole movie is him driving in a car.
Okay.
And that's all that's the whole movie. He's driving in a car, making phone calls.
Is it a good movie? Because it sounds like a boring piece of crap.
You would think it was boring as fuck.
Immediately when, I'm not going to make judgments, but to me, when you say that, I'm like, that has to be a boring
movie. But you watch it, once you start watching it, you cannot stop. It's so compelling.
I feel like I got heartburn.
You probably having a heart attack from all the caffeine.
No, I would tell if I'm having a heart attack. There's not a burned toe smell in sight. I am getting a little drunk, though.
Are you?
So we got to pick it up. You got to go faster. Come fast-paced.
It's going pretty fast.
Go as quick as you can.
Okay, so John Green, Rotten Tomatoes, 97% audience score.
Damn.
93% critic score.
Well, that's nice. I really only give a shit about the audience score. Maybe some pretentious douchebags care about the critic score. But it's like the people who prop up the movie industry are normal people. So, like, I actually care about their opinion.
Yeah, like...
They're the people that are allowed movies to still be made. They're the people who are... It matters whether or not the audience likes the movie. Because whether or not... You know, I like some movies that aren't necessarily as popular with, like, the greater bulk audience. But I think people are able to pick out a good movie over a bad movie. More than some douchebag critic who just... I don't know. I don't like people who their entire career is based on judging other things. Like any of those like YouTubers, like those drama channels where like their whole living is like making like Logan Paul is a piece of shit. Or like,
yeah.
Or like, yeah, like H3 fucking sucks. And this is why. I'm like, shut. Maybe make anything in your original in your there, entire.
There's a couple of YouTube channels that I just cannot watch. One is called Looper.
Okay.
And the other, I don't even know the name, but they just like they come up with lists of like the best action movies ever.
Now, see, no, because I like Watch Mojo.
Yeah, it's Watch Mojo.
I fucking love Watch
Mojo. Oh, I hate that.
Welcome to Watch Mojo.
And then they just spit out a bunch of crap.
Yeah, because you're not, I get it, because you're not doing anything. You're just taking other people's work, editing it a little bit, adding some dumb commentary, and you get paid for it. Like, make your own shit if you're going to be in the entertainment / creative industry.
And have you noticed a lot of these channels are now using AI voices?
Yeah, like they've straight up, it kind of like takes away from true entertainment and true creativity. Because
AI voices aren't perfect, and every now and then they'll screw something up.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I don't know what the fuck you just said.
I can tell almost instantly if it's an AI-generated voice reading a script.
Yeah, my biggest
complaint. And I'll just click off right away.
My biggest complaint about AI is we need to get it the fuck out of the entertainment industry. When all of this comes said and done, and AI takes over our workforce and everything, the one remaining solace humanity will have is our ability that we are able to create unique expressions and footprints of the lives we live. That's the interesting thing, is you have all these people walking around consuming things, and we all live very different lives, even if subtly. We all have different experiences, and the culmination of all those things creates such different people, even though we are made of the same stuff, that I love exploring shit people make. And then you have these fucking Keemstar douchebags who are, did you see what James Charles did? I don't give a fuck what James Charles did. Come up with a story. Come up with your own shit. I'll watch James Charles if I'm interested in making opinion about James Charles.
Yeah.
Do you know who James Charles is?
I have no idea.
He's a makeup YouTuber. Or was? I think he got into some trouble.
Oh, well.
I don't pay attention to the internet anymore. I'm 70 years old. I just want to drink my Diet Pepsi and rum. And I want to watch Mr. Rogers because it reminds me of when the world made sense.
Well, now, you said earlier that comedy has evolved.
It has, I think. It has. That's blank. I mean, that's blank. In the 60s, you couldn't say the shit that you can say today. Sure, we've also become more conscientious about some stuff, but you just can't. And here's the difference, is I think people can pick out what's ill, not always, sometimes you get it wrong. People can pick out what's ill-natured and what's not ill-natured. And I think back, like, you know, way back in the day, you couldn't get away with certain stuff that you can now, and that's a fact.
Well, you also mentioned the new Jerry Seinfeld. So this is called Unfrosted.
Yeah.
And it's about Toast and Kellogg in a breakfast war.
What the fuck was he thinking?
Written by Jerry Seinfeld and one of his friends during COVID.
I want to make a comedy movie about cereal! Why are we not talking about cereal?
So Toast, according to what I've read and seen in the trailer, is that Toast comes out with a shelf-stable breakfast pastry, and Jerry is in charge of Kellogg's. Right?
Yeah.
And it's their race to come out with a better shelf-stable pastry, the Pop-Tart.
Yeah, it's about Pop-Tart.
And it's got a great cast.
It has a superstar cast. It has McCarthy in it. It has Jerry. Oh, fuck Jerry Seinfeld. But it has Bill Burr in it.
Bill Burr.
Like, that is a rock star cast, minus Jerry Seinfeld. And, but it's a bad movie. It's not funny at all because Jerry Seinfeld wrote it.
Hugh Grant plays Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, like, it has the makings of a good movie, but we shouldn't have got an unfunny, out of touch, stupid, arrogant asshole to write it.
I don't know. It's on Netflix. It's going to be on Netflix. I don't think it's been released yet. Melissa McCarthy's in it.
I think it's showing because it's a Rotten Tomatoes score is abysmal. It has like a 48, even lower percent critic-wise and like a 50% audience-wise.
I'm looking it up on YouTube.
You got to get faster at typing if you're going to be our local researcher. You got to get on NitroType and you got to get better at typing.
It is out now.
Yep. We'll sit in silence while that looks up what's going on. Let's just sit in absolute silence.
You can talk to it. It is out now. I will probably watch this. But it doesn't look good.
I've seen a chunks of it. I watched sort of, and it's just, and here's my main complaint. Everybody makes a bad movie, and that's okay. Sometimes movies aren't as good. But there was an interview about Jerry Seinfeld that came out recently where he was like shitting on like this millennial woke stuff. And that only affects, like, I get everyone's getting canceled or whatever, but not really. Like, sure, there are the most, like, far left and far right people that are, like, shit-talking certain things depending on what their perspective is. Like, you have the far right people that anything that has anyone that's gay or of a different race, then they're mad. How dare you be black? Or any time that there's anything that's remotely offensive, not even anything that's remotely kind of sketchy, you have like the far left just being like, ah, how dare you? But like at the end of the day, comedy's still comedy. And people still understand the most people still understand what's funny and what's not. And so have you seen this interview?
I did watch a little bit.
So you have Jerry Seinfeld saying like, ah, we can't make anything funny anymore. People don't like it. The gate's been moved. That's my Jerry Seinfeld impression. And he's like talking about how like, oh yeah, this woke, like new age stuff is like taken over and like what's funny has changed. And that's not the case. Go watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
There's good comedy out there.
It's like, oh, we used to go watch Cheers and MASH. Well, yeah, that stuff isn't funny anymore. That was funny 60 years ago when you couldn't say the F word on TV.
I don't know. I still enjoy a good episode of Frasier.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, but it's not funny.
Or MASH.
It's not like the funny that matches. Like, we are blatantly able to get away with more today. Like, you watch some of the shit and it is unhinged. And my mind keeps going back to, like, It's Always Sunny. Because, like, they get away with the grossest shit. And it's because you know that they don't have ill intentions.
No.
I watch, like, Bill Burr. He says the nastiest shit. But I know that it's still funny as hell. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, and then you have Jerry Seinfeld who's saying that nothing's funny anymore. And I'm sorry, man, but you've done one funny thing in your entire career. You had one TV show that was very good, and it wasn't good because of you. It was good because Larry David based it on his life and because you had a cast of very funny people that your character reacted to. And if you watch his comedy routines now, it's the same fucking comedy routine he was doing in 1995.
Well, in
the
same PC. It was funny.
Yeah, sure it was. Comedy's moved on, and he doesn't. I think he just doesn't understand that. Yeah, the things you were joking about 30 years ago, I've heard it my entire life. Sorry if I don't find it funny anymore. I want the genre to move forward.
Yeah, the critics are just shitting all over this movie.
Can you tell how strongly I feel, how strongly I dislike Jerry Seinfeld?
Yes.
Is that coming across appropriately, how much I dislike his comedy? Yeah. He's not funny. Like, it's funny in the things that, like, my dad, like, not even my dad, because my dad actually is funny, but, like, somebody's, like, mustache, you know, soft pancake dad would make a joke, like, dad jokes. You've never made dad jokes. You've made very cynical, fucked up humor that I've always found fascinating.
No.
But, like, you, the average, like, dad joke, that's the kind of shit that Jerry Seinfeld does. And it's funny, but I don't want to hear about airplanes anymore.
Man, the critics are just shitting all over.
You're just going to keep looking at your screen, or you're going to join the conversation? Yes, the critics are shitting on it. We've stated that. 48% on critics.
But Tony 50%. Tiger, Hugh Grant as Tony the Tiger does look funny.
I might watch it just because Bill Burr plays JFK, but
You just what?
I don't like Jerry Seinfeld. He's not funny.
You've established you do not like Jerry.
Well, then move the conversation forward so I don't have to keep talking about how I don't like Jerry Seinfeld.
Second, Boeing whistleblower dies after short illness.
Yeah, they're killing people.
Dean, a Boeing whistleblower who warned manufacturing defects in the plane maker's 737 MAX, died after a short illness. The second whistleblower to die this year. He was 45.
Yeah, like, obviously, they killed a guy this year. They already, one person dying, maybe it was a coincidence. Maybe he killed himself. two people do it. Why are we not holding Boeing accountable?
Well, they couldn't do the suicide thing again.
No, they not had saying to do something. That
they had anything to do with the first one.
I am.
But he was hospitalized because he couldn't breathe, and he died shortly thereafter.
Yeah, there's there's a lot of chemicals that can be used to discreetly kill a person that aren't very traceable.
Now, he was also represented by the same law firm as the first Mitch Barnett, who was found dead from what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Oh, my God. This is just fucking stupid that we live in. I'm never riding on an airplane again, because fuck Boeing. Unless it's not a Boeing, I'm not going on an airport anymore. I'll walk through the ocean.
Yeah, they came out and they said, they had a subcontractor that put in these door plugs, and they would use, soap.
Yeah, and their door started flying off. Because they weren't using safe practices.
But Boeing came out and said, yeah, we approved that. There's certain, things in manufacturing that, the workers find a better way to do it.
Yeah, but now the whistleblowers just happened.
But that was the same thing as the Tesla recall.
Yeah.
They used soap to slip the rubber seal on.
Which is just
on their accelerator pedal.
I almost think, and it is my opinion, not a formal fact, that it's just made up. That they just weren't using good practices. And they're like, oh, yeah, we were used soap. You're like, fuck. And the thing that upsets me is that we're never going to hold them accountable. No one's actually going to look into the fact that two people that spoke against them blatantly died. That's fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
And no one will ever hold them accountable. So I'm done with airplanes.
Well, no, because we need airplanes. So we
could get someone else.
They'll get a spanking behind the scenes.
They won't get shit. I don't care if I have to split the sea like Moses. I ain't going on a Boeing again. I'll walk through the ocean as God intended.
Or just drive. Are you going to drive?
Eventually I think there's going to be bridges all over the place.
Are you going to take a ship to Europe?
I will. I'll take a voyage, just like my Irish ancestors did to get to this fine country.
See, I think if you're going to go to Europe, ship's the way to do it.
Honestly, that is kind of an aesthetic.
Because you get 3 weeks on a ship. If you're not prone to seasickness, why not?
Though I would have to wear the popper flat cap that you have and the big overcoat, and I'd only talk in almost uninterpretable Irish accent. I'd just pretend. We're going over. We're going on a voyage. I hope that I make it. My son Jacob died on the last trip over. I'm eating nothing but tack bread, you see, and oranges so I don't get the scurvy. And that's the only way I'll travel. Or limes. I'll drink wine if I have to, even though I prefer beer.
They did drink beer. The Mayflower docked at Plymouth Rock.
To make more beer. But
no, because they ran out of beer.
Yeah, to make more beer is why they docked. Because they couldn't have any more for the voyage.
They couldn't drink the water.
Yeah, exactly. They ran out of beer. Let's dock here so we can make more beer. They made beer when they got here.
And then they just stayed.
Then they hung out. They decided to hang out by Plymouth.
Yeah.
But they did drink wine. It's maybe not on the Mayflower, but this was a common development that they used to drink salted pork. And sure, they started bringing oranges, but it also a big thing is they started bringing wine because you were able to get some vitamin C without having to get
scurvy.
What is scurvy? Have you ever known anyone with scurvy?
I know, and I've never had a scurvy.
People talk shit and say this is the worst time ever because we have some political conflicts. But we don't have as bad of political conflicts as the Crusades, where millions, where every fine Englishman is marching towards the Middle East to slaughter people.
Over and every religion? Muslim,
yeah, we don't have millions of people straight up murdering each other over their differences in religion. I've never met anyone with leprosy. You're really going to tell me that we live in the worst time? I think you're pretentious. Well, they're over there.
I think they're in Hawaii.
Is that a fucked up thing for me to say?
No.
They're over there.
As long as they're not around me.
I don't know. As long as I'm not seeing the lepers. Is that a slang term? Is that a slur? Lepers?
Well, I don't know. That would suck having it.
I don't want to get leprosy.
Your limbs just fall off.
I feel bad for people. Are there still people with leprosy around? We haven't cured that?
I don't think it's curable.
I don't like that.
Once you get it, I think you're kind of screwed.
That makes me upset. I'm sure we have bad shit still. We have tuberculosis and malaria, but not nearly as bad as some shit we've gone through as a people.
Yes, there is a leprosy colony in Kalaupapa, Hawaii.
Well, I ain't ever going to Kalaupapa, Hawaii. I've heard something. Look this up. There's like a, there's an insect that's ruining Hawaiian agriculture. Look that up. There's an insect that's ruining Hawaiian agriculture. I gotta admit, though, while you're looking this up, I'm starting to get a little tipsy, which, you know, I don't have a problem with, because that's the original format of the show. Because at the beginning of the show, we talk like normal people. And by the end of the show, we don't, because we're drunk. The only problems I have is that I feel like I'm breathing so loud right now.
You are breathing.
I've been vaping a lot, and I think my lungs are suffering. I need to just stop vaping forever, probably. But, like, none of the Zens or none of the anything has, like, you know, it helped. Like, I just can't get none of the lozenges or patches or anything. I think we probably need a switch between who's monitoring sound and who's looking stuff up, because apparently you're incapable.
I am not finding anything about insects
ruining Hawaiian agriculture.
Yeah.
Apparently you are incapable of talking while you're typing. Like, is that a thing with you?
Well, I'm trying to read and type at the same time.
You can talk, read, and type at the same time.
They do.
It's like a certain type of worm, or like a coconut worm that's ruining Hawaiian agriculture. I'm not seeing anything.
I think you're making stuff up.
Nope, the coconut rhinoceros beetle. We are switching after this episode because you are so bad at looking stuff up. I forgot that you're 52. That's my bad. So it's I'm looking this up on my phone, and I did that in 10 seconds, and I've bullshitted about not being able to breathe.
It's kind of hard to type.
You're an old man, and it's okay. So, you have the coconut rhinoceros beetle, and there's one, there's an infestation. I can't find the specific island, but like a specialist had said that this island is done. It is unsavable. So now they're just trying to work on preventative measures for others. It's an invasive species.
Okay, I started typing in coconut.
Yeah.
I got COCO, and it came up coconut rhinoceros beetle.
There you go. All I looked up, by the way, was, insect bad Hawaii, and I came up with that in 3 seconds.
That's what I did.
Well, you're not, you know.
Well, Google wasn't listening, and then you said it, and it came right back up.
It was because our devices are listening to every word. It had to hear me say it. Fair enough. Well, what do you have on it? Is there anything interesting there? Because that's ruining Hawaii, and I don't like it because I've never been.
So the coconut rhinoceros beetle it's an invasive species in Maui.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So it bores into palm trees or other trees and just basically kills them.
Yeah, it's ruining the agriculture.
Yeah. So it's attacking coconuts, palms, taro, banana, pineapple, and sugar cane.
That's fucked up.
So Hawaii has this program now. If you find one, if you see the larva, you have to report it.
You have to physically report where it's at. Well, one of the islands have been fully condemned, haven't they?
Not according to this.
I thought the scientists said one of them was like a lost cause, and now they're just working on preventative measures.
Yeah, the larva looked like huge, huge.
And they're like gross-looking, worm-looking things.
So instead of bananas, then now they can eat these.
Can you eat them?
Yeah, they're grub worms.
Let's eat grub worms.
High protein.
I feel like they wouldn't taste so bad, like grub worms or even these. Like, you look at them and you're like, yeah, sure, they're bugs. But I feel like I could, like, saute those with some butter and salt and they'd be okay.
I've heard they kind of taste like popcorn.
Yeah, so, like, maybe let's try it. Let's get some grub worms. Let's saute them. Let's throw some caramelized
onions. Insects in general are high in protein, and if you cook them, the right ones. There's some you don't want to eat. But
let's make an insect cookbook. That's what I think we should do.
They have those.
Yeah, but we could do it better, is what you're saying.
Well,
we could do it way better.
I don't know about that.
Well, fine. Don't have any confidence in yourself, Dad.
So there are several websites you can report if you find these, and they're going to come out and try and get rid of them for you.
Well, they're not. They're taking over the world. There are so many more insects than there are people. It's crazy.
I mean,
trillions upon trillions of insects.
Well, because they're small.
Yeah, but it goes insects and then people and everything else. You know, if insects wanted this world, they could have it.
They could.
Anyway, I'm ready to get...
Now you got me looking up beetles.
Well, we'll do that off air. I'm ready to get really drunk, and I can't do that on this show because then I speak incoherent English. And you've been pretty quiet this episode.
Well, because you have me looking stuff up now.
We're going to switch because it's obvious you weren't born to be a researcher. And you are objectively better at the soundboard than I am. I'm over here. I'm sitting here. But you are the one who figured all this shit out. I didn't figure any stuff out.
Well, we'll try it.
So we're going to try it next episode. And it's going to be just as good as this episode because we're great every time. But I do want to know, because you were quiet this episode, what is your opinion on your least favorite food? What is it?
My least favorite food.
What's your least favorite food? Because we're talking about eating insects. What's your least favorite food?
You would have to, right off the top of my head, sea urchin.
Sea urchin. I've never had it. I imagine it tastes mucousy and gross.
You eat the inside.
I don't like cow brains.
The outside is like spiny and hard. So they cut it open and there's like this mustardy yellow kind of mush.
You may be right about that, but I'm talking about your least favorite food. My mom and stepdad used to make me eat cow brains for breakfast.
Ew.
It has a specific name. I forget what it's called. Do you know? I forget.
Ethernetsy.
Yeah. Damn, you're smart. Ethernetsy. They used to make us eat cow brains for, and like, we know for a fact that you would get mad cow brain disease.
Yeah, no, were the cow brains or calf brains?
Cow brains.
So you don't want to eat calf brain or cow brain?
Yeah.
Calf brains are okay.
Maybe it was calf. I was a kid. But they would fry it up for breakfast and mix it with eggs, and it was so bad.
Yeah.
Give me sausage.
There was a place in Wahoo, a breakfast place, you could get Ethernet.
We know a guy. You and I know a guy who died from mad cow brain disease.
Well, he died from Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease.
But he had mad cow disease.
Well, it's pretty much the same thing.
He got it from eating cow brains.
Well, he was a dairy farmer, and they would just butcher their own cattle. Like a dairy cow would be, yeah, it's not producing anymore, let's go slaughter it.
I hate that farm. Fuck that fine. I won't get into it, but fuck that.
But yeah, he died from that, and that's probably where he got it.
And they would make us fucking eat Ethernet tea.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend.
And like, I love cow tongue for like cow tongue tacos.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god! You can't get more of a moist, tender meat.
No, you can't. It's like the best part of a cow.
But how dare you give your kids cow brains? Not to shit on my mom and stepdad. You're whatever you guys are. So, you know, you eat cow brains and stuff. I don't know if they still do. Now they buy milk from the store, so I don't know what's going
on. Yeah, I remember they used to, like, just bring over, like, a 5-gallon bucket of milk.
Well, it's, my stepdad owns a farm, so, like, he'd make, you know, he just has milk available. But instead of just bottling it and putting it in our fridge, we would just take it by the bucket and put it in the garage, or put it in the deep freeze in the garage. And I don't like it. So I want to ask that. But we're getting ready to head out. Do you have anything else you want to add, Father?
Cow tongue. Lengua.
Lengua. It's lengua.
Lengua de vaca.
Lengua.
Lengua. Lengua
de vaca.
It's great in a burrito. Just, yeah, cow tongue is fair.
Well, as always, thank you guys so much for listening. I love each and every one of you. I'd give you a kiss on the forehead if I was able. Please follow us on all of our social medias at Seth and Scott, @SpeakEasy. Or wait, reverse that. @SpeakEasy/Seth and Scott. I'm Seth.
And I'm Scott.
Lead us out, Daddy.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You're a fine person for doing so. Eat more cow.
Eat more of that motherfucking cow tongue.